It seems as though the only thing that is really constant is the fact that everything is changing. And as we look around our society today, we realize that sometimes change brings growth and improvement, and sometimes change brings fear and instability. When we look at our world technologically today, we realize that change is happening faster than we can really comprehend. In fact, most of us dads today, if we were honest about it, we still haven't figured out how to work the VCR of 10 years ago, much less all the newfangled technology that's out on the market today. We've gone from rotary phones to touch phones to cell phones, and we've gone from 8-track to cassette to CD, and from a few thousand people on the internet a few years ago to millions of people on the internet today, and now, in fact, every 100 days, the internet traffic is doubling as we move into the 21st century. Technologically, the world is changing this morning. Socially, the world is changing. It seems as though that a man's word is rarely his bond in this hour. It seems like marital problems are the norm today, and it seems as though families continue to struggle in this hour. Latchkey kids stay at home and play video games that seem to instill within them various forms of anxiousness and sinful habits. And we see today a growing number of young people becoming addicted to rock and roll music. And socially, it seems as though change is the norm and challenge is all around us. Politically, many of us are saddened to see that in this day, nationalism is on the decline and globalism is increasing. And trying to find people who still love the red, white, and blue and who are still thankful for America and believe that we should endeavor to be the very best that we can be for God is sometimes hard to find people with patriotism in this hour. And then, of course, religiously, it seems like things are changing faster than we really can even comprehend. Churches today, in an attempt to accommodate, are teaching less and less doctrine and are changing or eliminating the altar call altogether. And it's just hard to find today an old-fashioned place of worship where Jesus Christ can be exalted. Change abounds. Yet in this hour of human history, with more change in 1 year taking place than maybe it took hundreds of years before for that same amount of change, I'm glad this morning that I serve a God who does not change, that I serve a God who is faithful and true. God says in Malachi 3 and verse number 6, "For I am the Lord, I change not." I'm glad for that this morning. With everything around us changing, there is still one constant in my life and yours today, and that is God. The Bible says in our text, as the law was being given by Moses, and as God was reminding the children of Israel of His heart for them, the Bible says in verse number 9, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God." He is God, and He is the faithful God. You see, human nature cannot be relied upon this morning, and every one of us will have those from time to time who will hurt us and disappoint us. But we can trust in a God whose faithfulness is upholding the world even as we sit here this morning. Our God is in control, and our God is faithful this morning. I want you to learn with me some things about God as we attempt to understand God in a greater way this summer. And I want you to notice with me, first of all, that He is faithful in His personality. God is faithful in His very personality. The Bible says in verse 9, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations. His very personality is reliable. Isaiah 46 and verse 9 says, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me." I see, as we consider the personality of God this morning, several things coming out from the Scriptures. First of all, He is truthful. He is truthful. He is the God of gods, there is none like Him, and He keeps His word. Psalm 119 and verse 160 says, "Thy word is true from the beginning." Thy word is true from the beginning. Now, many in our society today may question, they may castigate the word of God. Some here this morning may be questioning the word of God. You know, if you were driving up in the mountains as the men were going up to the camp out this past Friday, if you were to drive up and see a sign on the road that says, dangerous, curves ahead, really you have three choices at that moment. You could slow down, you could maintain your speed, you could ignore the sign and just maintain your speed, or you could defy the sign and you could increase your speed. You really have several choices when you see a sign like that. But friend, your response to the sign still does not change what that sign says. And you may be here today with various attitudes towards God and towards His Word, but your attitude and mine and your response and mine doesn't change the fact that God is true and His Word is true. It is unchanging and it is faithful. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Romans chapter 3 and verse 4 says, let God be true and every man a liar. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 4 says, He is a God of truth without iniquity. And so we see that He is faithful in His personality because His personality is comprised, first of all, of truthfulness. Secondly, He is not only truthful, but He is unchangeable. Unchangeable. In theological terms, we speak of it as the immutability of God. He does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. James chapter 1 and verse 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. The word variableness tells us that there is no changing with God. I'm glad this morning that my God and your God, if you're saved, is not like a yo-yo up and down, who loves me one day, who's mad at me one day, a God who's unreliable. He is a God who is reliable, and He never changes. And so we see that He is faithful in His personality, because His personality is a personality of truthfulness and it is a personality of unchangeableness. Notice secondly this morning, He is faithful in His provision. God is faithful not only in His personality, constant and unchanging, but He is faithful in His provision for you and for me. Now notice back in our text in verse 8, because here Moses is reminding the children of Israel of the faithfulness of God to provide for them. And he says in verse number 8, but because the Lord loved you, and because He would keep the oath which He had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. You know, when you look at the lives of the children of Israel, every time they had a need, God wanted to meet that need. Now, because of disobedience, the needs were not always met. Because they made choices, they were not always able to see the fulfillment of the promise of God. But His heart towards them was always to provide for their needs. And I want you to know this morning that the heart of God for you is to provide for your needs. The heart of God for you is to meet every single need. It has always been God's desire to meet the needs of His people. Notice first of all this morning, He will give provision of physical needs. God will give the provision of physical needs. What a tragic day we live in today with so many men abandoning their families and so many men not providing even for the physical necessities of their children. And yet we see from the example of God that He will always meet those needs. The Bible says in Genesis 8 and verse 22, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. God says as long as the earth remains, I am going to give seed time and harvest. I am going to make sure that the earth is giving out plenty for the inhabitants to be provided for and to be sustained with. And you know, friend, the planet that we live on annually produces enough food for our physical needs. God has provided from generation to generation for people to be provided for physically. Psalm 37 and verse 25 says, I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. God says, I want you to know, and the psalmist says, I want you to know, I've been young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. If you're here this morning as a Christian, and especially living in America, you and I have been blessed beyond measure. God provides for us faithfully. And I thank God over the years for the way He has provided in my life and in the life of our church. We have seen His provision to be a faithful provision. I remember years ago, back in 1984, and I was an assistant pastor at that time, and Brother Wally Davis here, who's an evangelist now, at that time was a pastor in Northern California. Brother Davis asked me on one occasion, I forget the exact situation, but he said, Brother Chapel, I'd like you to come preach for us. I'll be out of town. If you could preach for us on a Sunday night, I think it was, we'd sure appreciate it. And so I said, well, I'd love to do that and work things out so that that could happen. And about that same time, we were preparing to go with several church staffs to a training conference, a pastor's conference. And at that time, the church where I was did not pay the ticket or provide for some of the ongoing training like that. And so they said, if you want to go, you can, but you need to pay your own way to go. And so I began to pray that God would provide a way. I reserved the plane tickets. I was looking forward to going to the conference and so forth. And along in that same period of time, I went and preached for Pastor Davis. And sometimes when you preach in a church as a guest, they'll give you maybe a check for your travel expenses, and sometimes maybe an honorarium of some type, and in a way of saying thanks for your labor among us and so forth. And as I preached for Evangelist Wally Davis, who was then Pastor Wally Davis, had a great time preaching there. But as I left, no one gave me any expenses for the travel and the time and the study and the hard labor put into that message and the prayer that went into that message and all of my diligent concern for his church. There was really no thought about that. And so I left, went home, and really didn't think a lot about it at the time. But now a few weeks from preaching at Brother Davis's church, it was coming close to this conference. And I began to become worried about the fact that I wasn't going to get to go to the conference. I was worried about the fact that maybe I wouldn't be able to buy the ticket. And now they were going to leave on a Monday morning, and here it was on a Sunday. And it was Sunday afternoon, and I was telling my wife, all the other guys are going on this conference, and I don't see how I can go, and I've reserved the ticket, but I can't pay for the ticket. And my wife said something at that moment. She said, well, honey, have you thought about praying that God would provide? I hate it when my wife says that. And I said, well, all right. And we got together at the kitchen table, and we prayed that God would provide for that need, if it be His will. And I would say within a minute or two, the phone rang, and it was Pastor Davis. He said, Brother Chapel, he said, I'm so embarrassed. I said, you should be. He said, I can't believe this happened. He said, I was out of town, and we forgot to take care of this situation. And he said, the Lord put this on my heart this afternoon. He said, I'd like to run over if I could and bring a check by for you to thank you for your time that you spent laboring in our ministry. And he brought that by, and we were able to take that check and pay for the rest of that plane ticket and get on to that conference. And I think of that, and I'm reminded of the fact we serve a faithful God. I don't know what your need is today, but I know God's heart is to meet that need. And He provides for His children. He provides for the physical needs, but He also provides for the emotional needs of His children. I believe that Jesus Christ provides for us physically, emotionally, as well as spiritually. I want you to see in verse 8, it says, but because the Lord loved you, and because He would keep the oath which He had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand. I want to say this morning, dads, as we look at the Heavenly Father, that our Heavenly Father is a loving Heavenly Father. Sometimes I hear men say, I never heard my dad say, I love you. And I want to encourage you to realize God is telling us this morning He loves us. And I want to encourage you to tell your children that today. Let them know verbally that you love them because God loves us and He meets that need in our life. Now, love is more than an emotion. It is an action of my will under the direction and leadership of the Lord to meet the need in someone else's life. But when I express love in my words and in my deeds, I am meeting physical needs. I am meeting emotional needs of my family. And speaking to the children of Israel, the Bible says in Jeremiah 31 and verse 3, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. God says, I love you with an everlasting love, with an undying love, with an unchanging love. Lamentation 3 and verse 22 says, His compassions, they fail not. Great is thy faithfulness. I'm glad this morning that I serve a loving, compassionate Father in heaven who loves me and cares for me and meets for those needs in my life when I may feel and when you may feel like no one else cares, that God still in His faithfulness loves us. Now, if we look to men to encourage us, we will often be discouraged. But if we will look to the cross of Jesus Christ, His compassion fails not. His mercy fails not. His love endures and His Spirit comforts. And I want to tell you, you may be here this morning and you may have a friend or a loved one that has discouraged you. And you may be going through a time of difficulty and heartache even this morning. But I want to tell you one thing this morning. And if you hear nothing else, let me give you this little bit of encouragement. That if you want to find the emotional need met within your heart and in your soul, take one look at the cross this morning. And remember that God in His faithfulness sent His Son, Jesus Christ, who on the cross of Calvary voluntarily shed His blood. On the cross of Calvary suffered the ridicule of the Roman soldiers and the spear through His side. On the cross of Calvary bore all of our sins in order that we might be saved. God did that to say, I love you and I want you to be saved. I heard of a little girl years ago, true story, who in their family a tragedy came. Her mother came down with cancer. And after a prolonged battle with cancer, God took her home. One night, as this little girl was there in the house alone with her daddy, she was the only child. She was scared and fearful about everything that had transpired. And so as the story is told, she went into her daddy's bedroom and crawled up into bed with him. And she was sobbing, and her dad tried to talk to her a little bit. And after a while of talking, he kind of got snuggled in on one side of the bed, and she snuggled on her side, and they were trying to go to sleep. And she crawled over on top of her dad, and the dad said that she grabbed his cheek sort of like this and turned him, as little kids can do, right towards herself. And she said, Daddy, is your face towards me now? And he said, Yes, sweetheart, my face is towards you. And she said, Good, then I can sleep now. Just keep your face towards me. And I want to remind you this morning that no matter what you may experience, the face of God is always towards you. And you and I can always rest in the faithfulness of God towards you and towards me. It may be sickness, it may be heartache, but the face of God is faithfully towards His children. He provides the physical need, He provides the emotional need, and most importantly, He provides for the spiritual need of His children. And God provides for our spiritual needs through the Word of God. God's Word is a sustenance. It is a provision so that we might be strengthened and that we might grow spiritually. Psalm 119 and verse 89 says, Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. The Bible says in Psalm 119 verse 138, Thy testimonies that Thou hast commanded are righteous and are very faithful. Now, the stock market is unfaithful, and the authors of this world are unfaithful, and the newspapers oftentimes are unfaithful, but the Word of God is faithful. It is forever settled in heaven, and it will meet your spiritual need every time you open it up. My friend, when I come to the Word of God, and when I open it up with a right heart and seeking His leadership, every single time God feeds me. Every single time God gives me something for the day, and He's providing for me spiritually through His Word. I remember some years ago, I was up in Northern California and had driven all day, got up early, missed breakfast, drove through lunch and had missed lunch. And so we were going to have an early dinner before a church service. And as we got with the pastor, he said, I know just the place to go. And he took me to a restaurant along with some other folks. And as we got to the restaurant, I'd never been in there before. The name of the restaurant over the top, it said Fresh Choice. I said, that's fine. Wonderful. I like fresh food. Let's get in and eat. I'm starving hungry. Well, as we got into this restaurant called Fresh Choice, and I began to peruse the offering there at this sort of a buffet-style restaurant, there were carrots and celery and lettuce and sunflower seeds and raisins, broccoli, more lettuce, beets. There was one prevailing question on my mind as we stood in that line. And I looked to the pastor and I said, "Where's the beef?" I said, "I missed breakfast. I missed lunch. I've been driving all day. I'm going to preach tonight. And I'm supposed to get energy off some carrots and lettuce here." I said, "Come on, man. Where's the beef? I'm telling you, I've never eaten so much lettuce in my life." And I went back 3 or 4 times just trying to get filled up. And when we walked out of there, I still didn't feel filled up when it was all over with. But you know, the fact of the matter is that when you are spiritually hungry and you come to the Word of God, thank God He will provide for your needs spiritually and He will fill you up every time. My friend, if you want to deal with carrots and lettuce, then delve into the New Age doctrines and delve into the cults. But my friend, if you want the steak and potatoes of godliness, open up the Word of God tomorrow morning. And let God fill you up and give you strength and nourishment so that you can go into that day with strength and know that you're standing on the solid rock of Jesus Christ and His Word. You see, God is faithful in His personality. He is true and He is unchanging. And God is faithful in His provision. He provides for us physically and emotionally and spiritually. But here's the best part. God is faithful in His promises. He is faithful to keep His promises. Now notice what it says back in Deuteronomy 7 and verse number 9. "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations and repayeth them that hate Him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hateth Him. He will repay him to his face. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I command thee this day to do them." God is faithful to keep His promises. Now, there are thousands of promises in the Word of God. In fact, there are thousands of prophecies in the Word of God, the most of which have already been fulfilled. God, for example, said that in the dewness of time He would send forth His Son, and He did. God prophesied the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. All of these prophecies have already been fulfilled. But if I were to share with you the greatest promise of God that has ever been given to man, I would share with you, first of all, it is His promise to save. God has promised that any man who realizes that as a sinner he cannot save himself, God has promised that He will save us from our sin and He will give us a home in heaven for all of eternity. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 24, speaking about Jesus Christ, who is here called the great high priest, "But this man," speaking of Christ, "because he continueth forever, hath an unchangeable priesthood." In other words, the Old Testament priest would change from time to time, from generation to generation. But because Jesus Christ arose from the grave and is seated at the right hand of God the Heavenly Father, He as the high priest, after the order of Melchizedek, is the unchanging, everlasting, immutable priest that you and I can pray to and that is offering salvation today. He continueth forever. He has an unchanging priesthood. Now the Bible says there in Hebrews, "Wherefore He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come to God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them." Jesus Christ says, "I give to you a promise. I promise you that I can provide salvation." Jesus Christ, the one who died on the cross and rose again, the one who is an everlasting high priest, the one who is an unchangeable high priest, the one whose invitation never stops. Jesus Christ says, "If you will come to me, I will give you rest. Wherefore He is able also to save them to the uttermost," hear these words, "that come to God by Him." Acts 4:12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven, given among men, whereby you must be saved." And so the author of Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 7 very clearly that we must come unto God by Him. Hear me, friend. There is only one way to a relationship with God, and that one way is Jesus Christ. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by way of Jesus Christ." Now, someone might say, "Well, that's awfully narrow preaching." It's about as narrow as that book right there. Because the Bible declares Jesus Christ to be the only way. And Jesus says, I will promise you something, that if you will come to me, you can have a relationship with God. And you can only come to God by way of Jesus Christ. Not the Baptist church, not the Catholic church, not any church you want to name. There is not a church that can save you, but there is a Savior who can save you. And his name is Jesus Christ. And he promises that he will not cast you out if you will come to him. And so he promises salvation. But I want to share something just a little deeper with you this morning. You see, Jesus doesn't merely promise to save you, though that's the most wonderful promise in all the world. But he says, not only will I save you, but he says, if you will come to me, I will keep you until the day of redemption. I will keep your soul. I will seal it. I will settle it until the day of redemption, he says in Ephesians chapter 1. And in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, the Apostle Paul, in giving his testimony, spoke of it in these terms. For I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. The Apostle Paul said, I know whom I have believed. My friend, do you know in whom you have believed? Do you know this morning in whom you are trusting? Paul did. He said, I know whom I have believed. And that one was Jesus Christ. And he said, not only did he know in whom he had believed, but he said, I'm persuaded, I'm fully convinced that he, Jesus Christ, is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. My friend, you and I are not able to keep ourselves saved because most of us will probably do something wrong in the way of sin this week. We can't live to the perfection of God. But God in his grace and in his mercy says, when you trust my son as Savior, I am able to keep that which you've committed. Do you know what you commit to God when you trust him as Savior? You commit your soul to him. When you ask Jesus Christ to save you, you're saying, Lord, I can't save myself. I trust you and I ask you to save me. And Paul said, I am convinced, I'm fully persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Whether that day is the day of our death or whether that day is the day when Jesus comes again, God promises that he will take us home according to his word. His promise is to save you. His promise is to keep you. And may I say, thirdly, his promise is to forgive you. Whether that forgiveness is implied at the moment of salvation in 1 John, or whether it is implied in the life of the Christian, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's the word faithful again. He is the faithful forgiver of sins. At the moment of salvation, he forgives our sin. After you're saved and you come to the Lord and you say, Lord, I confess something that I've done, the Bible says he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. He is a faithful God. When you and I falter, when you and I fail, his love never fails. Jesus never fails. There was a pastor recently getting a haircut, and as he was in the barber chair, the barber was an atheistic fella, always had snide remarks to say about Christians and always had lots of cursing while the haircuts were being given. And one day the barber said to the pastor, he said, if God is such a God of love, then how can he allow all this war and poverty and all these problems to exist in the world today? And just as they were having that discussion, a disheveled, long-bearded, long-haired, unkept fella came walking by the barber shop. He was walking slowly and he was in a mess. And the pastor looked at that fella and he said to the barber, he said, you're a barber and you claim to be a good one. He said, I want to ask you, how can you allow a man like that to walk around the streets unshaven and unkept like that? And the barber said, well, he's never given me the chance to do anything about it. To which the pastor said, and so men and women without God struggling in the problems you've mentioned have never given God the chance to do anything about it. Now, my friend, I don't know what your trial, your challenge, or your problem may be today, but I would propose this to you. Why don't you give God a chance to do something about it? Why don't you come to Jesus Christ, the one who promises you eternal life, the one who promises to keep you once you're saved, the one who promises to forgive your sin and to provide for you? He is faithful in his personality. He is faithful in his provisions, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. And he is faithful in his promise. For he who promises to save will save when we invite him into our hearts and into our lives today. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. I would ask you, Lord, to help us to learn more about you, but then also to become more like you as we study these great attributes. Speak to us and meet needs, Lord.